It's time for From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine with Trey Schaap. A golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around, trying to put it in a 4 1/4-inch diameter hole. From the Shortgrass is presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine and brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. And now, from the Shortgrass, here's your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. UAMS Ortho Now, now open at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. If you have an orthopedic injury, sports, work, or anything else, walk in and see the best in orthopedic care. No appointment is needed. Ortho Now, open Monday through Friday, 8 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to noon. It's conveniently located at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. Call 501-686-TOSH. That's 501-686-8674 for more information. Every golf swing is different, and sometimes it's hard to find the right swing for your game. That is where Todd Graves comes in. Todd Graves teaches the single plane experience. You can learn the simple swing that makes golf easier to learn, less stressful, and he says more enjoyable to play. He's coming up after the break. Stay with us.
This is Justin Akre. If shoulder or elbow pain is affecting your daily life, the fellowship-trained physicians at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health are here to help. They offer advanced care for injuries, arthritis, rotator cuff problems, and more, helping you feel better, move better, and get back to everyday life. Call 501-686-TOSH today to schedule your appointment. That's 501-686-8674. The doctor will see you now.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Do you have a proven step-by-step plan to make your swing predictable, powerful, and consistent? If your answer is no, that is where Todd Graves comes into play. GravesGolf.com is the website. You can go and find more information about Graves Golf and the path to single-plane success. I sat down with Todd a couple of weeks ago over Zoom to record this interview on the tee. Todd Graves.
Todd, thanks for joining me on this edition of From the Shortgrass. Do you remember the first time you picked up a golf club and fell in love with this game?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 11 years old. I was, my parents lived near a country club, which we were not a member of, but it was across the pond. And I remember when I used to fish that pond. I used to get in my canoe and I would go out there and get in that pond and fish all the golf balls out that people would hit in there. And I'd collect the balls. I'd go to the other side of the pond and hit them back into the pond. So yeah, I mean, and then I, you know, as a kid, I started working at a golf course when I was a little kid too. They had a program. The local pro here was very much an advocate for junior golf. And so he would have the kids work in what he called the Wonder Program. And the Wonder Program was where the kids could work a couple days a week and we get to play golf for free. And my brother and I both did that. And we became part of this Rat Pack group of kids that just all we did was spend our time playing golf. That was our babysitter. Probably saved me from a lot of trouble because I just played golf all the time. I would just end up at the golf course in the afternoons and I'd be there till 9 o'clock at night until it got dark. So, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, when you play golf, that's one of those things, you just fall in love with it. And I certainly did that when I was that age at 11.
So Todd, in the very beginning, did you ever have some instruction or was it just you trial and error trying to figure it out on your own?
It was a little bit of both. You know, I was around a lot of great professionals. Like, my mentors were all professional golfers. So the local guy, I remember Jim Hess was a mentor of mine. He was the assistant pro there. He just graduated from OU on the golf team at OU. And I remember really, I mean, he gave me his golf bag. You know, here I am 12, 13 years old, and he gives me his college bag, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, my mentors were golf professionals. And then, you know, gosh, I mean, the passion for the game, you know, when you wake up in the morning, and Tom Watson was my hero when I was a kid, and I'd wake up and see Tom Watson playing in the Open Championship. And oh my God, I mean, Seve Ballesteros, and just that whole, I love the way golf, the people that play golf represented themselves. I just admired professional golfers. And so yeah, I just remember that whole, the whole just being wanting to be a part of that. And then I ended up becoming a pretty good player as a kid. You know, all we did was play golf all the time. And, you know, I became pretty good, and I did have lessons. I don't know how formal they were. I mean, you'd always ask the pros for a little help, and they come over and give you a hand. And I think I took a couple formal lessons from Jackie Riggs and a guy named Don Maddox, some really local professionals that were great here. And but that was when I was really young. And but they just kept me inspired. I remember dragging golf magazines out of like Tom Watson's swing and trying to copy what I saw in the magazine, you know, the positions of a swing, and get my friends over there and say, I'd say, "Hey, do I look like that?" You know, but yeah, it was a great way to grow up as a kid. I really miss those days. It was a lot of fun.
When you see junior golfers now trying to maybe replicate one of their guys that they look up to, or one of the players they look up to, what are some of the flaws that you see in their swings?
I see a lot of good as well. I mean, I see, you know what I don't like, and this is maybe just on a personal note more than anything. I just think we're too caught up in TrackMan, right? I'm not a huge TrackMan fan, and we get caught up in the numbers, and distance has become such a big part of the game. And I don't know if it's always a bad thing. Look, you got to hit a ball a certain distance to play at certain levels, but they get certainly caught up in chasing numbers versus technique. I was talking to Tom Jones. You know who Tom Jones is? Tom played at Oklahoma State, played on the tour for a number of years, and Tom's our director of golf here at National, at Oaktree National. And I was talking to Tom about when I was growing up. You know, you had the wound Bellotta golf ball, and you had persimmon heads. And listen, back in that day, and I tell people about the distance that the ball is going now, it wasn't about how far you hit it. It was about, can you stop it from spinning sideways, right? I mean, because that ball spun a lot, and the club spun the ball a lot. The ball barely spins today compared to what it did back in the day. I mean, the golf balls today are made to not spin. So we had to really focus more on technique. It was more about, you know, how good. That's why I think Mo Norman was such a great story, because, you know, he was able to control that golf ball back in that day. You know, the golf balls, they weren't even round. Heck, we had to carry that little thing that you'd stick the golf ball in to make sure the golf ball wasn't round after you hit it 10 times. So the ball has really changed the game a lot. I know a lot of the players have been saying a lot about that, but I think the younger guys today, for as much good instruction as out there, I think they just get caught up too much in the distance factor and the track man, and they lose sight of the scoring parts of the game. I see a lot of kids out there can hit the ball a long way that just can't score. I see it every day out here at the academy. So there's some of that going on. What would I do to change it? I don't really know, other than the fact that the guys with the best short games, that your ball striking is important. You got to hit the ball a certain distance. I think you got to hit it somewhere over 280, 285 now to even, you know, be a contender. But I don't think it's that hard to do. And the average kid now is, I have kids out here that are hitting at 350. You know, they still can't beat anybody. So they hit it inside a wedge, and they miss the green with wedges. So I would probably want them to focus less on the numbers on TrackMan and spend more on scoring. That would be my recommendation on wedge game and short game and putting.
You brought up the name Mo Norman. When did you meet him, and what was that initial meeting like?
Yeah, I played the Asian Tour in 1991. So when I graduated OU, I actually was coaching at OU, and I turned professional, and then I went, my first professional tour was playing Southeast Asia on the Asian Tour. And that was 1991. And when I came back from Asia, towards the end of 1991, I started really, really focusing on how to get better. I played with, And I'll play with guys like Todd Hamilton and David Toms and Vijay Singh and these guys that were playing on the tour when I was there. And I realized, I'm a good player, but I'm not nearly as good as these guys are. And so I started looking for some instruction. I started doing the rounds around the U.S. Who are the best players working with? How do I improve my swing? The David Lederers, the Tom Antons, the Mac O'Grady's, the Hank Haney's. Started as working, looking for somebody I could resonate with. And over that period of time of 3 years, I just wasn't getting better. I was finding so much confusion in all the different, you call them methodologies, but what people were teaching. And I didn't find a lot of answers in it. I found a lot of find your own swing, right? Find your swing, find a, you know, and I couldn't find it. I couldn't find my swing. And I remember saying to my girlfriend at the time, I was like, I was better when I was in college than I am right now as a professional. And I was living in Dallas, Texas. I had some sponsors down there, and they weren't happy with me because I wasn't playing well enough to be sponsored. And they had built a really nice, huge, massive driving range called City Point Golf Center. It's not there anymore, but it was and my sponsors owned a bunch of real estate. So they would say, they said, "Hey, Todd, if you're not playing well, why don't you just come out here and teach?" And I'm like, I don't know what to teach. I don't teach. So I don't know if I should play or teach what I don't know about or whatever. So it was about that time when a friend of mine was playing the Canadian Tour. His name was Matthew Lane. I'd played on the played college golf with Matthew, a very good friend of mine. He's from New Zealand. Matthew, fabulous player. He brought a tape. He had played the Canadian Tour, and he brought a tape into my office that when I was at my apartment, actually, when I was at Dallas. He said, "You got to see this tape." And it was Mo. It was him hitting golf balls with Mo. Matthew practicing with Mo. But what intrigued me about the tape more than anything was the people watching Mo. I think Chris DeMarco. There's all these tour players that were in the gallery. Martin Gates, and if you remember Martin Gates, led the British Open, and Matthew, and all these guys who were playing the Canadian Tour were watching Mo hit golf balls. And I'm like, if these guys are all watching this guy, there's got to be really something to this guy, right? And of course, when I saw his swing, that the way he was setting up to the golf ball, establishing plane, that wasn't that shocking to me to look at his technique. And I'll tell you why, because if anybody sees Mo for the first time, and anybody on this who's listening to this sees Mo for the first time, you're gonna say, well, he stands a long way from the ball. He really reaches for it. He looks like he's really tilted, all this stuff. But when I was working with Hank Haney, and I spent a lot of time at Hank's studios down in Dallas, Texas, we were drawing plane lines on the TV screen. We would take a Sharpie or a dry erase marker, and we'd draw a line on the TV screen, and we were trying to hit that plane line. And so I was not unfamiliar with the trying to swing plane the golf club. It was part of Hank's vernacular. I mean, you couldn't leave Hank's studio without talking about Mo Norm or Ben Hogan and swing plane. But when I watched Mo on that videotape, I drew a line on it. I'm like, let's watch. And he started and impacted on the exact same line. I'm like, that's what I've been trying to do, but I couldn't do it. I haven't been able to accomplish that consistently from a conventional hang the arms down position. So I immediately saw really the validity of what Mo was doing technically because of all my experience from all these instructors. So I give these instructors that taught me a lot of credit for understanding enough about the swing to say, for me to say to Mo, look at Mo Norman and go, this guy's doing something. He simplified this thing. He simplified the ability to get to impact, which is what golf ball striking is really all about. So that's really, that was my first, when I saw that, I was 1993 when I saw that video. And then I took that video and I started practicing what I saw in that video for a year. I just copied what I saw. And I got people making fun of me. I was up at Hank's studio and people were saying, "What are you doing? Why are you changing everything?" And I'm like, yeah, I said, this is, and the thing is I immediately started being able to return the club to impact really immediately. Because it's such a natural thing to do is to put the club where you're going to impact the way Mo did it. And I started hitting it more solid right away. And so I knew there was really something to this right off the bat.
But Todd, it is a weird setup though. When you look at the conventional setup that you see on TV every, weekend when you're watching a professional tournament, it is a weird setup that Mo had. Were you not a little bit suspect with it?
Not well, keep in mind that I had been through 3 years of massive frustration with
Sure.
that conventional setup. So I had been around the block, tried multiple different things, and had very little success consistently with, what is the best way to do this? And really I was looking at how to get to impact plane. If you look at I just did a show the other day where one of the most convincing videos I saw was Sebi Ballesteros when I was like, when I was studying Mo Norman, and Sebi's hand started pretty low and he'd impact very high, body lifts up, impact higher, and I'm like, there's so much movement going on from the start of the swing to the most important moment of impact that Mo just didn't have that. And so I was so convinced that what Mo was doing, plus I mean, you got tour players saying this guy hits it better than anybody. You kind of have to put two and two together. It's like, okay, here you got a guy that's regarded as the best ball striker in the world, not by what Mo said, but by anybody who saw him hit golf balls said. I mean, professionals like even Lee Trevino, and I talked to Peter Jacobson, who spent some time with him, said he was remarkable. And then you have this different swing. So I started saying, well, it's got to be. Let's put two and two together here. The different swing might be why he's the greatest ball striker that's ever lived. So I didn't really question it, and I kind of went all in on it. And probably because I was just so frustrated, I was pretty much done with it anyway. I couldn't figure it out anyway, and I got better so much faster. And I had answers. That was part of it too, is I had answers. You know, I said, how do you start the club? Start where Mo starts it. You know, put your body where Mo is. I had a model. One of the reasons people tend to gravitate towards what I teach in my academy is because we have an absolute model. We don't run around and say, well, swing your own swing. Now, I will say this. You might look different than I do because you might be taller than me or shorter than me or whatever, but you there's an absolute biomechanical model to this that we rely on and we teach. And that model, it says you're either doing it or you're not. The club's either moving right or it's not. And that's where we have our success. That's where I've had all my success teaching is matching to that model. So that was kind of my story of going all in.
Do you feel like that you owe a lot to Mo for
Oh
where
yeah.
you are now?
Oh yeah. I do owe a lot to Mo in the sense that he didn't get close to too many people, and I was able to kind of get close to him. He took me under his wing in a way that maybe he didn't do with too many people. I mean, I obviously bugged him to death too for a long time, so it wasn't like I wasn't there all the time. But yeah, I certainly owe and I think people I just had an appreciation and respect for him and that's probably why we got along so well. And so I do I certainly do. And I've spent a lot of time, you know, I people don't know this about the business part of this side, and I don't talk about the business part as much, but we went I navigated the whole Mo Norman estate. He didn't have family members that he was associated with, so he had friends that were his estate. And so, matter of fact, if you paid Mo a check, if you gave Mo a check, he would put it in his glove box of his car and he would drive around for months and months and months, and then we went back to Canada because he'd be in Florida. His buddies, his business buddies, would open his glove box, and all these checks would fall out of his car, and they'd have to go cash him. He didn't know he had a bank account. He never had a credit card. So you know, it was just one of those things where you know, getting close to Mo and understanding him, and I certainly had appreciation for all that. But the business side of it, I had to navigate his estate. You know, and when he, especially when he passed away, and I purchased a company, Natural Golf. You probably remember the company, Natural Golf. I purchased that company to really clean up his legacy. I wanted his legacy to be one of what it is today, which is the greatest ball striker's ever played the game with this amazingly natural golf swing it's teachable, and I wanted people to understand. Matter of fact, I just got off a phone call 5 minutes ago where we're working on a documentary about him. So I've been working on that for a number of years.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, so yeah, I certainly have a lot of respect and appreciation and thank him greatly for where we are today.
Todd, what is the response of some of your pupils? Some of the players that come to you once they leave, what is their response? What's the feedback that you're getting from them?
Yeah, the number one positive feedback we get is I finally know exactly what I should do to swing a golf club. I have a model. That's number one. Number two, simplicity. Once I always tell people, if I explain this to you, it's going to make so much sense. You're going to go, why doesn't everybody do it this way? That's number two. And number three is people have back problems. A lot of people have back pain, and we help people that have body pain and back pain, especially as they age, because we get a lot of aging golfers, even though I teach some younger guys as well. But those three things are really what would drive people to us. And it's just the simplicity of it. It may look different, but if I explained it to you, you'd be like, gosh, it just makes so much sense to do it this way. And there's answers there. There's really answers. Like, where do I put my hand position? I'll show you exactly where to put it. Right. It's not, well, you can put it on top here or here. No. There's a face plane, there's a club plane, and there's a hand position that gets you in those positions. So it's really clear. And I try to My instruction, I try to be as clear as I can that there are certain positions that the body naturally will go into if you position it correctly. Actually, my new book, The Intelligent Golf Swing, I discuss that where the body has natural ranges of motion and you can use those for your golf swing. It's exactly what Mo figured out. You know, if you ask the question, how did Mo Norman figure this thing out, right? I would say because he was intuitive and he relied on the feelings in his body to say, this is easy, this is difficult. And he didn't listen to anybody. He didn't say, well, so and so does it this way, so I'll do it that way. It didn't make sense to him. So thank God he was wired the way he was wired because he discovered it. I call Mo's swing a discovery. I don't call it a method because I think he, and I know he, because of what I've studied in biomechanics, he discovered a way to put the body in a position that you can, there's no easier way to get to impact. And to me, it's a discovery, not necessarily a method.
You teach his swing. How can people reach you?
Yeah, you can. The best way to do it is to go to gravesgolf.com. You can check all our website. We have schools happening all the time. I mean, I always tell people, look, I'll give you my personal email address. It's toddg@gravesgolf.com. Reach out to me directly. I'll get back to you. There's plenty of programs. We teach a monthly training program, which we've had so much success with, which is 30 days of training online. Our coaches do it every single day here at the academy, where you can basically, it doesn't matter where you are in the U.S. or anywhere in the world, is you can get coaching with us every single day here. And we put people in these programs. They're very inexpensive, and you can work with us right now online. So email me at toddg@gravesgolf.com, and I'd be happy to set you up in one of our programs or get you with one of our coaches. And also, if you want to just kind of find out what everything's about, go to the intelligentgolfswing.com. That's where my most recent book is. It'll give you a background. You can go to Amazon. It's actually launched on Amazon last week, so you can go to Amazon too. It's called The Intelligent Golf Swing.
Are there some players out there that you see coming up that are utilizing this technique in the game that maybe we should pay attention to?
Whenever I see people have their hands a little higher from below the shoulders, Fitzpatrick, look at him, his hands are high. I mean, he starts his hands high. Now he's got his lead hands in a stronger rotation, and so this club face is more shut than, but I mean, his hands start high. And whenever I see the hands getting high, I'm seeing a more natural position because that's where you're going to impact. So it's not like you don't see elements of Mo's swing in some of the players, a lot of the players out there. I see it a lot of times. Is it perfectly like Mo? I mean, I think there's, you can even simplify things even further. But I like those type of positions where their hands start a little higher and their body is a little more tilted, and they swing on the same plane versus starting on one plane and impacting on a much higher plane. I have some kids I teach. There's one kid named Roberto Lebrija. He plays on the Asian tour now. He won in the Latin American tour 2 years ago, and then he played Asian tour. I didn't keep up with him this last year, but he's been playing really well. But I have some kids I've been teaching, and would I say they go all in with Mo? They do it first, and then they kind of gravitate towards. But if you can improve their swing plane from address to impact, you're going to improve everybody. So if they leave me with, I'll go all in on Mo with them, and they'll say, well, I just feel a little better doing this. That's fine. They'll swing it better just by putting Mo elements into their swing. But I really like to see people go all in when they're here at the academy, because I want them to understand that there is a very simple way to move the club and move the hands and move the arms to get to impact. And it's just easier than people think.
Todd, the USGA, the RNA, it appears that they're going to roll back the golf ball in a couple of years. It's not going to impact a lot of people, but it will impact those that, play the game at a very, very high level. Do you think that utilizing these swing techniques that Mo taught, that you teach, could help you with being a high velocity player, if you will, one of those playing at the high level? With this type of swing playing, with the rollback of the golf ball, you're going to be able to hit it so much straighter.
Well, I tell you what they're running into, I think, and part of the issue with, I mean, I spent some time with the USGA years ago dealing with the golf ball issue, and I'll tell you what they're going to run in, what they're running into is they're running out of real estate, right? I mean, how long can you make Augusta National before you Augusta National's obsolete, and God forbid Augusta National being obsolete, right? So yeah, we have to do something about that. Mo, I used to have discussions with Mo all the time. Just narrow the fairways and grow the rough up. Take the ability to spin the golf ball from the rough. But that's that. So there's two real problems you have: not only the distance the ball is going, but the ability to spin it from the rough. That's one that's not really understood well enough, is the fact that because of the cover on the golf ball and the grooves. That's why the USGA always pays attention to grooves as well, because it's the grooves and the ball being in the rough, and it's the fact you can spin it out of the rough and stop it on a green. So all those things are factors of the golf ball. And once you start narrowing the fairways and making the ball spin less out of the rough, and Shorten it. Yeah, the courses, those great courses that we grew up watching are back in play, and they're hitting 5 irons and 6 irons in, right?
Yeah.
Because gosh, I watched a deal, and I could be wrong on these numbers, but I almost couldn't believe it. It was probably when DJ was playing on the PGA Tour before he went to LIV. He his average distance to the hole on a par four for that year was 75 yards.
Wow.
It's hard to believe for me. I mean,
Yeah.
think about that. Think about if every time you teed up on a par four, you had a sand wedge in your hand, or a gap wedge in your hand, or a for them a lob wedge in your hand. I mean, golf is not that hard, right? Back when you and I were watching Curtis Strange win the U.S. Open, he's hitting 5 irons in the greens, and he's rolling them off the back. And I loved golf back then because it's why I love the Open Championship, because the ball doesn't stop, right? And so, I mean, so I think golf has to get back to that. I don't know. I think golf, the athletes have gotten better in golf too. So you add the better athlete, the more trained athlete. I mean, I know I work with kids, they train their butts off, physically now. That's probably the Tiger effect a little bit, but I think that's good. I think better athletes for the game. I've caddied this year in Palm Springs at the Amex Championship. I caddied out there, and I got to be inside the ropes with all the players, and I absolutely had a blast. And I remember sitting back on the tee, and I thought to myself, I was looking at, I had Billy Horschel over here, and I had and a Aberg, and all the guys were hitting balls, and Jason Day, and I'm standing behind him going, these guys are great athletes. Don't mistake how good athletes these guys really are. I mean, I was in the training tent with them. I was eating with them. These guys are fabulous athletes. They're much better athletes than I was when I was
Oh
playing.
yeah, no doubt.
And so you combine the amazing athletes here. Look at Rory. I mean, he's 5 foot 9, and he hits it, longer than anybody out there. He's my size, and he hits it 100 yards past me. So it's like, what amazing athletes they are. So I really had an appreciation for that. So I think you combine that, they're gonna have to roll that ball back because they're not gonna hit
No.
it shorter.
Yeah,
It's not
no.
gonna get shorter. So
No,
anyway.
we don't want to obsolete the old course, Pebble, the Augusta National, like you said. No doubt about that. Speaking of golf courses, all right, Todd, best golf course you've ever played. Where is it?
Oh, I just played it. Well, so I would have said Medina to you, because I love Medina. It's
Growing up
classic.
in Chicago,
Played it a
yeah.
lot when I was over the last years, but I played Cypress for the first time about 8 weeks ago, and I gotta say, there's some shots on Cypress, but you can't deny some of the greatest shots in golf on 16. And I don't know, I loved it. Part of it is because I had not played a lot of golf in the last few years, and I got invited. I had to go play at Cypress. I got to play with the head pro there, who's a great guy. He showed me around. Thank God I had him, or I wouldn't know how to play the course. But so I'm gonna have to say right now, Cypress would be
That's
my
awesome.
favorite. Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. Fantasy foursome, living or deceased, you and three others that you could play around a round of golf with, who would they be?
Oh, geez. George Knutson, Mo Norman, Ben Hogan.
That was quick.
Oh, you want to see some great ball striking? Just
Yeah.
sit back, It's been
No
amazing.
doubt. No doubt. That would be awesome. Todd, real quick, Edmond, Oklahoma, Graves Golf. How can people find you?
Well, you can go online and learn all about us at gravesgolf.com. If you want to go learn about our training center here, we're in Edmond, Oklahoma. That's Graves Golf Club. But look, here's what you need to do. Just if you're seriously interested about learning about what we're doing with the single plane swing and Mo Norman, drop me an email, toddg@gravesgolf.com. If I can't answer the question, one of my team members will. We'd love to have you come to a school. If you want to pick up a copy of my book and learn a little bit more about that, it's theintelligentgolfswing.com. You can go to Amazon and you can see it there as well.
All right, Todd, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Trey. I appreciate you.
This is Justin Akre. If shoulder or elbow pain is affecting your daily life, the fellowship-trained physicians at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health are here to help. They offer advanced care for injuries, arthritis, rotator cuff problems, and more, helping you feel better, move better, and get back to everyday life. Call 501-686-TOSH today to schedule your appointment. That's 501-686-8674. The doctor will see you now.
That's all the time for this edition of From the Short Grass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I want to thank Todd Graves for taking time out of his busy schedule to sit down and talk with me over Zoom. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the short grass.
You have been listening to From the Short Grass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network in association with Majestic Cubby Productions.